Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, it never ceases to amaze me. It's half full. We sing the sermon hymn, you turn around, and then everybody's here. Okay. You guys have learned from our Latino congregation. All right? Anyway, we continue in the Gospel of John, and this is right before Jesus is going to be crucified. It's the night of his betrayal, and this is a prayer he said for his apostles, but also for us. So before he was going to die, he was thinking of us. So thanks be to God. Amen? Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Like I said, these are some of Jesus' last words. But what is the full measure of his joy? Kenneth Trent writes, my joy refers to a state of bliss or complete happiness that only Jesus can give. It includes the full and free pardon of sin now, the unfailing promise of his presence throughout our lives, and the assurance of a home in heaven hereafter. So are we experiencing this joy and freedom that Jesus offers us today? A.W. Tozer wrote, revivals come only to those who want them badly enough. The problem is not to persuade God to fill us, but to want God sufficiently to permit him to do so. The average Christian is so cold and so contented with his wretched condition that there is no vacuum of desire into which the blessed Spirit can rush in, satisfying fullness. So we have to surrender and say, yes, Lord, I want your joy and peace. Jesus is a gentleman, okay? We have to give him permission. And today we're going to have an opportunity to do that. And we have isn't that a cool picture? That's surrender, okay? We need to surrender to Jesus. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And we have the word up there, which we always emphasize here. Bob Uly writes, this is an affirmation of divine revelation through Jesus' person, teachings, and example. Jesus gives the word and is the word. We welcome the person of the gospel and believe the message of the gospel. Rejection by the world is a sign of acceptance by Christ. Believers are in the world, but not of the world. The world refers to this fallen age of human and angelic rebellion. So questions, have we been changed by his word? Are we in the world, but not of the world? Or are we riding along with the culture? Or are we clashing with it? Have we been rejected because of our faith? Not of this world. That's what we're to be. Spurgeon writes, if nobody hates you for being a Christian, are you a Christian? If you find that you run with the general herd and swim with the current, can you be a follower of that Christ who was despised and rejected of men? I think we've all heard enough about what's happening in Afghanistan and we need to pray, but I didn't know this until this week, but the Christians there, on your IDs, you have to put what religion you are, just their driver's license or whatever. And we've had 5,000 conversions there where there's Christians in Afghanistan, and they took the step of putting it on their IDs. So now that the government's changed, it could be a death sentence, all right? That takes courage, right? Would we put Christian on our IDs? We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the Christians in Afghanistan and throughout the world that are being persecuted. And especially today, we're going to pray for U.S. citizens who are stuck in Afghanistan right now. Okay? It affects all of us. They're our brothers and sisters. Amen? Verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. This is later in the evening when Jesus is praying in the garden. But we're in a spiritual war. Recently, two members overdosed and died. They gave in to temptation and died. We are in a spiritual war. We need to wake up and realize Satan wants to destroy us and those we love. We are fighting this battle on foreign ground because heaven is our home. So do we isolate and play it safe? Bob Yearley says, Christians have a mission in the world. It is not a time for them to go home or isolate themselves into Christian cliques. Isolation is dangerous. Isolation is dangerous. During the lockdowns, you're not going to hear about it, but there was a tremendous increase, more than double, of suicides and overdoses. And unfortunately, we experienced the overdoses in our church because we have so many people in recovery, all right? But they skyrocketed. These numbers skyrocketed because we were meant for community. And for people who are listening at home, it's time to get back and be in community. We need each other, especially today. We're overwhelmed by our culture. We need to be here together. It's not the same just listening or watching on TV. And there's many people who have decided, well, I like this. I could stay in my pajamas and have a latte and have a donut and enjoy worship. That's a heck of a communion, right? A donut and a latte, all right? It's time to come back. We need each other. We need each other. Pastor, you want to say something about lockdowns or about isolation? Because I know you stress it in CR.
We just tell people all the time that, you know, we were created to be in community, that we can't isolate, and that's why we call ourselves a forever family, because we have to be like family. And if you don't have a family, then we are your family. And we have to stay in community. The Bible says we were created to be in fellowship, and that's what we stress every week. And when somebody doesn't show up, we make phone calls, we find out what's going on, and we check on them, because, you know, we don't want anyone isolated. And it could be a legitimate issue, whatever the case may be, but we want to either be able to pray for them or remind them that they need to, because there's people in recovery just for isolating.
Yes.
You know, and it can happen to any of us at any age, in any point of our lives, and whether we're in addiction from substance abuse or not, doesn't matter. Right. So we always try to keep the communication going between everyone.
And for people who are isolating, for pastors, it's a red flag. We don't care if you're an addict or not. If you're isolating, it's not good spiritually. It's just not good. All right? We're created to be together. Spiritual warfare. I love this. The brother here that has a Bible, and there's Satan attacking. And the Word protects us, and our prayers protect us more than we know, okay? We need to be in the Word. And how many minutes a day?
15.
To start, right? All right. There we go. However, we are not alone in this battle. God is with us always. The Father protects us. Spurgeon writes, Jesus closes His life on earth by commending them to the keeping of His Heavenly Father. Surely, brethren, this teaches us that this care is ever needed. Sheep never outgrow the necessity for their being kept by the shepherd. If the 11 always required keeping, I am sure that you and I do. We are not better than Thomas or Peter or John. We have among us many a Thomas who will not believe without superfluity of evidence. That means a whole bunch, okay? Many a Peter, rash and impetuous, and many a John, who would call fire from heaven upon the adversaries of the cause. We are full of flaws and failures, are we not? Shall we crumble? Amen. We know we're sinners, right? We shall crumble to the dust if the Lord does not keep us. Is there one man or woman among us that can live unless the eternal life shall continue to flow into us? I am sure there is not. We need that vital connection with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon goes on to talk about a man. He was a salesman and a peddler is what they called him, but he would go from town to town. And he wasn't the brightest star in the sky, but he had enough sense to be a drunk and swear like crazy, okay? And one day he's walking down the street, and there's this woman, a poor woman, and she's singing, I am a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus is my all in all. And he heard her singing this, and he began to think about it. And the more he thought about it, he got home and got on his knees and accepted Jesus Christ. So immediately he wanted to get connected to a church. So he goes to the church and he says, "I want to become a member." And they said, "Well, with your reputation, you can't come to the church, you know." And he said, "Well, I was unconverted, but I'm converted now. And I confess that I am a great sinner. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all." So then the church accepted him into fellowship. But then from time to time, he'd have one of the fellow members say, "You're always so happy. How can you be so happy? There's times when I think that I don't know if I have eternal life. I don't know if I'm saved." And the man said, "Well, you ought to be happy." Because he said, "The reason I'm happy is I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all." And the people would say, "I wish I had that." But it's really that simple, isn't it? You have not begun to sing, "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." If you go to him and cry this, will he turn you away? No. And we're going to pray this right now together. So let us pray, and we're going to take it slow, okay? "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." Amen. And hang on to that. Hang on to that for all you're worth. Amen? Amen. So Jesus is all we need. Verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So who defines who we are? The culture, or ourselves, or God? God should, right? 1 Corinthians 6, Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the good news. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That defines us. That defines it. It's not what we were, it's what we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hebrews 8. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." We are children of God. It doesn't matter what we were before. We are children of God now. And we don't listen to what the world says. Listen only to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who matters, right? When we enter into this divine love fest, God should define and refine us. Pastor Larry Moyer was visiting a man in the Air Force, and he went into the guy's room and noticed there was a Playboy on the table there. And the soldier said, he admitted he didn't know if he was going to heaven. So Pastor Moyer pulled out a 3x5 card from the pocket and said, "Put on the card whatever is keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ right now." Well, he mentioned two things. He said, "My friends, I don't know what they'll say. And secondly, certain things I'm going to have to give up." So Pastor Moyer said, "Okay, now let's talk about those two things for a minute. First of all, you said your friends. Do you mean that you are going to go through life letting them make all your big decisions for you and you make the small ones?" The soldier got irritated. He said, "I will not do that." The pastor said, "If you say I will not trust Jesus Christ because of my friends, that's exactly what you are saying. They can make all my big decisions, like where I will spend eternity, and I will make all the small ones." The soldier said, I will not do that. If I do not go to heaven, I want it to be my choosing, not theirs. So I said, that's not a good reason, is it? And he said, no. Secondly, he said, certain things you'd have to give up. God is not asking you to give up anything. God is asking you to receive something. Once you've received eternal life, God will help you to put into your life what should be there and take out what should not be there. So he took out a 3x5 card. And his handwriting was much better than mine. Okay? But he wrote two circles. The first one he put heaven. That's us, heaven. And the second one, women, parties, alcohol, drugs, and magazines. And what the pastor said is, you're willing to trade this circle here for this circle here. And the man was quiet. And after some time, he said, I'm ready. And he accepted Jesus Christ. And to this day, the man is happy and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen? But he did not have a good reason for not trusting Christ. He had no excuse. So what is our excuse? What excuse do we make? Verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Bob Yeatley says, believers are called to Christ-likeness. This can only happen through knowledge of the truth, which is both living word and written word. Sanctified in its Old Testament sense basically means to be set apart for God's service. And if you took basics, you know that, all right? Truth refers to Jesus' message about God. Jesus is called both the message and the truth of God. The Spirit is often referred to as the Spirit of truth. Notice that believers are also sanctified by the truth and by the Spirit. In May of 1846, there was an evangelist who went to Nottingham, England. And he preached a sermon, and he preached on Mark. The text was, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. In the audience, there was a young man there who had been born again 2 years earlier. And Coffey preached that the key to this verse was to learn to desire God's desires. And that God's foremost desire was that we develop the character of a servant to help the poor and to spread the gospel that souls might be saved. Well, that young man who visited that day took that to heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he wanted to be a servant to help people. So the Holy Spirit led him to start an organization to reach out to the poor and to serve them. And that young man's name was William Booth. He started the Salvation Army. Trust in Jesus. Trust in the person of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit will lead you to unknown heights. You'll find yourself doing things you never thought of doing. We have a Spanish service today, and I don't have an interpreter right now. But I'm trusting God will send me one, okay? If not, guess what? I'm going to be preaching in Spanish today. What an adventure, right? But my Spanish is perfect, right, Danilo? Yeah. He was the one laughing the most, okay? But that's the adventure of following Jesus Christ, right? Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So he wants us to have the same relationship with one another as he has with the Father. And how close is the Son to the Spirit and the Father? They're intimate, right? Intimate relationship. Which we couldn't even fathom. But Jesus' dying wish is for unity in His church. And I believe it's coming about today. Not from my generation, it's from Pastor Robert's generation, okay? We're doing CR, Celebrate Recovery, which is non-denominational. We also trace Dias, It's like her seal. Once again, all different kinds of denominations. I'm going to a prayer summit this week, Pastor Robin and I. And Pastor Dave Drum, one of my friends, wants to get... There's going to be over 20 churches there. He wants to get the churches in Phoenix united. Or actually, it's the churches in the valley. Because they've been able to affect the community in Tucson by the churches working together. And there's been a very unhealthy of competition among churches. I think we all know that, right? And it doesn't help the witness of the gospel. So I believe that's happening, and I believe we're also going to have a revival tent meeting here in the fall. Three nights. And Pastor Robert and I may preach one night, but we're going to have other people preaching the other nights. Pentecostal pastors. Oh my, right? Praise God, all right? Praise God. Spurgeon writes, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." That's what Jesus was talking about. Spurgeon writes, "Christ's body is not made up of denominations, nor of presbyteries, nor of Christian societies. It is made up of saints chosen of God from before the foundation of the world, redeemed by the blood, called by the Spirit, and made one with Jesus Christ. Above all, the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, is the true fount of oneness." The Spirit draws us together. And I'm going to use an illustration I use in basics a lot of the times. Marcella, you want to come up here? And James, come here, okay? Now, this is not because I have a big head, but I do have a big head. But anyway, okay? I'm going to stand up here, okay? Now, you guys can face me, okay? Or face you. That's good, okay? Pretend I'm Jesus, okay? I know it's hard, okay? Pretend I'm Jesus, okay? Marcella, give me your hand. Now, Marcella has a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? Now, Jim, put your hand here. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, all right? Because Jim has a relationship with Christ, they're automatically connected, Marcella and James. That's how the church works, you see? We're all connected to Jesus Christ, which draws us in Him, and it draws us together. We're family. We're an eternal family. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Now you can say, told everybody you held hands with Jesus today. Okay? So the main question today is, Jesus our all in all?
Yes.
Take that home with you. Is Jesus our all in all? Does everything we do center around Him in our lives? And what we're going to do today, rather than pray, we're going to sing a song. "You Are My All in All." This is an older song. It was written around 2013. But we're going to do it. We have enough people here. We're going to try to do it a cappella. All right? But I am not going to lead it. Pastor Robin, you want to come up? You got the mic. She's going to sit. So if you know the song, sing. If not, when you feel like you can sing along, sit. We're making a joyful noise, all right? So this will be our prayers. Amen?
Amen. I'm not a lead singer, so everybody sing out. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek.
You are my all in all.
Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame,
rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all.
When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my